Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this opportunity to share some things from your word. Lord, we know what your word says in general and in specifics, but help us, Lord, to kind of put some things together and to remember some things that we've learned long ago. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is a message I have been ready to bring whenever somebody would take a vacation.
October, 2 Sundays.
Now what am I going to do? I'm using it all up. My Royal George is gone. Anyway, the last time we were together in Sunday school, I think it was 4 years ago, we were doing the book of James, and we worked our way through James all the way up to chapter 4, and then various things happened, and I had to stop. And this is a little bit of a putting together of things that James, ideas that James gives us. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure. I'm hearing an echo with that other one.
Yeah, the sound is a little...
echoey? Because that's on. No, it's not on. It's not on.
Okay.
Measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above nature measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's sort of where I'm at right now as well, is that I'm using the power of Christ, the Holy Spirit. So everyone faces difficulties, hard times in life, and sometimes they're really painful. Sometimes you might wonder, does God really know about me? Does he care about me? Does God have a reason for this? Whatever it may be, we need to know that he does have a reason. And in painful times, you might doubt God. And with the pain and anger and confusion, it can be hard to remember God. But when you do, you can remember that God does love you and he values you very much. He has great plans for you and does not want to destroy you. So thinking these things, maybe God changed his mind and doesn't want the best for my life. Sir, before you walk away, could you turn out the far one? Just the one far one will do. Yeah. Thank you. But he does have plans for you, and he really doesn't want to destroy you. Even though you think, oh, maybe God is destroying me or whatever. He does have plans for you. And if we look in Jeremiah had a lot of problems, but God chose him for that. And Jeremiah says that the word of the Lord came and said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, my people of Israel, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And God, they were rebellious about everything, and they had rejected every prophet that had come along, and their crops were being eaten, and there was no rain for months on end, and it was really a hard time for them. And Jeremiah kept saying, hey, just come back to the Lord. But he didn't come back to the Lord. They didn't come back to the Lord. And yeah, I know this promise from Jeremiah, it's a really nice promise. It's nice the way it's put together. But it's the Old Testament, and some people say, well, that's just for the Old Testament saints. Yes, but the idea is similar. If we look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, if God gave up on us when we did a bad thing, would there be anybody left on earth? No. Romans 8, 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time, this is not Romans, it's 2 Corinthians, sorry. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation, I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the word here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, isn't the right one. It doesn't say that. Chapter 6, sorry. I haven't been up here for a long time, so it's one of those things. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For I have heard thee in an time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know what the word succored means? Do you remember your high school French from way back when? And your French teacher would run around the start of the at the front of the class saying, "Oh, secure! Oh, secure!" which meant help. Help, there's teenagers in my room. Well, it's just an old, English has taken it into their word, and it's a French word for help. So in the days that I have called you and accepted you, and I have helped you, secured you. But here's one that's Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And it's time, now is the time, and we've all read this verse, we all memorized probably this verse at one point, but in Romans 28, 28 it says, you know, all things work together for good, and I could come along and my wife could have a broken arm and a smashed up face and all this, and I just say, oh, remember, dear, all things work together for good. We don't do that. It's better when you come to somebody, a friend, and that's just hurting so bad because of something. Someone has passed away or there's a bad accident, that we learn this verse for us to think on. And think on it now, and believe it in time of trouble, but you just don't dump it on somebody, because that's, think of what Job's friends did. The best thing they did was they came to him, they sat with him for a week quietly. Then they really messed up and went on for a whole bookload of bad theology. So if we learn this now, it's for us to take. And so when, you know, somebody could just whisper, hello there, have you looked at Romans lately? Romans, check out Romans 8. But don't dump it on them. Don't just say chin up and do it. But if we go on to Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we are a living sacrifice to him. And sometimes, what does a sacrifice mean? A sacrifice means generally the lamb or the bull had to die and give up its life. And we are not like that in the church. We are living sacrifices. And sometimes it's a sacrifice just to get here on a Sunday morning or play the piano when he gives you something with five flats, which he does. So God allows hardship and trials and testings for a good purpose. So So just here's six little easy ways to think about it. Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Where was the branch? This is Sunday school. I get you to answer questions. Where was the branch?
Attached to the tree.
Attached to the tree. He was in Christ, but he wasn't doing anything. And so he trims them off. Okay? And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Just kind of clips it here and there, takes the little dead leaves off and the dead things, and gives it a chance to grow and produce more fruit. So God is working on us. Bill Gothard, we went to his seminars long ago, and he talks about it as being a diamond in the rough. You are God's diamond in the rough, and God just kind of chips away at us until we're a nice, beautiful-looking, sparkly diamond. So God's working on us. That's why sometimes things happen. And in Psalm 119, it says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. We can learn to obey God. If we have gone astray and kind of God kind of gives a little whack on the side of the head and straightens us out, well, that's a good thing. I had a friend in Sarnia who said, and he was living a very wild life. He'd close all the bars in Sarnia and then drive over the bridge down to Detroit till the bars were open another couple hours and all this kind of stuff. And he says, all of a sudden, God took a 2x4 and whacked me upside the head, and he changed. There was a grand transformation. He repented, he accepted the Lord, and he changed. His wife, what on earth happened to you? She couldn't believe it. And his daughter, she couldn't believe it. And I don't think the wife believes it even today. But sometimes tragedies bring us back to the good judgment. Number three, you can learn about who God is. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Sometimes we just need to stop and look into God's word and be reminded just who and what he is. And sometimes it's amazing. If you just look at the hymn book and think of the words that we're singing, they're great words that we're singing, but we sing them and we just sing them naturally. It just comes out all the time. But if you look at them and think about each word or think about the thought, some of these hymns are glorious and really talk beautifully about the Lord. And what happens when your team gets a touchdown? The referee goes like, yay! Well, he doesn't go yay because he's supposed to be neutral. But all the teammates go, yay! And all the fans, 200 fans or whatever's in the phone, yay! And all the 3,000 other fans from the home team are going, boo! And all this kind of stuff. So that's why they're raising their hands here, because they just scored. They were rooting for the home team. But we can learn about God, especially through the songs when we sing them. We need to stop and remember who God is. Number four, you can learn to rely on God. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8-9, it says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. And he was beaten, he was stoned, he was taken out, left for dead, and he knows all this, and he learned to rely on God. And sometimes we come into these situations. We're not obviously getting stoned here, We're not obviously getting beat up or things like that, but God is saying through these times, do you trust me? Hello, do you trust me? And as you're going through it, he says, do you still trust me? Hello, do you still trust me? Even though it's bad? And we can say, yes, Lord, we trust you. Maybe don't understand it, but we trust you. Number five, going through these things can help us mature in our faith. And we go back to James chapter 1, and in verse 2 to 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Well, different temptations. You may recall that we emphasized and spent quite a bit of time on the word temptations and trials, and that this is, God is talking about trials. He's not tempting you. Later on in James, it says, God does not tempt us with evil. He tests us to see, and with these tests, we become more mature. And when we become more mature, what happens? We become more like Christ. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, you're mature. Any questions? No? Good. We'll go on to number six. The best thing about this is that you can comfort others that are going through the same thing. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God or of God. Do you get an idea that we can do something for others? We can comfort them. We don't dump Romans 8 on them right away, but we comfort them. We can sit with them. We can send them a note. We can call them, text them, whatever. But we can comfort them because we've been through that. Some ladies that go through all sorts of things that have need somebody to comfort them. And that's our job as Christians, as older people, as mature Christians. And we need to be comforted 1 year. When I was on the OPP, I was working the 4 to 12 shift, which was fine because we were married, we didn't have any kids or anything like that, and she was always working the 4 to 12 or the 12 to midnight shift during the holidays. 4 to 12, double time, 12 to 8, triple time. Especially if it's on New Year's Eve and Christmas Day and Boxing Day. It was a wonderful time. I came home. I had had a rough night on the roads. I don't know how many impaired drivers were out there. Some of them had accidents that I had to investigate. Others I had to take in. And it was just so discouraging. I asked one of them, why are you getting drunk? It's Christmas. He looked at me and says, yeah, it's Christmas. It's a great time to get drunk. I said, well, what's Christmas getting drunk to do with Christmas? We're celebrating the Christ of our, celebrating the birth of our Lord. And my wife took me to Psalm 27. And this has been put to a song. Someday I'll figure out how to get it here, but I don't have it yet. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Her family was going through some rough times, and she needed some comfort, and she found Psalm 27, and she shared it with me, and it was good. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now, I wasn't expecting a war with these people, but it was really disappointing, so much of it. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And thus, and the rest of the psalm really was helpful to me, and it comforted me when I needed it. And she had had it given to her. And we have to remember Hebrews chapter 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even in times of trouble, David said, even though through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's in the New Testament. Some people, I like both. They're both the same to me. They're all God's word. So does God have a reason for this? Does he care? Yes, very much so. And he will give you what you need each step along the way. He will empower you as you choose to trust and obey him. Now, it's nice that we can trust our church, our friends, our buddies, and talk to them on the phone and text and things, but we can always talk to God. We don't have to use our scratchy voice to talk to God. Sometimes God asks us to go through things we don't think we have the strength for, but we know we do have. C.S. Lewis is an author of many things, and he says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciousnesses, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to arouse a deaf world. And so sometimes he needs to put us through some pain so that we'll turn back to him. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, God says, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the key, is that we glorify God. Okay? We're called, if you don't call upon him and you just struggle through, well, I made it. I made it. Or did God help you? Did God comfort you in some way? Did your God send a friend at just the right moment to you? And so if we pray about it, we can glorify God about it. In Psalm, put this up here, Psalm 91, verse 1, we'll turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the place, the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 1 has two names for God. The Most High is El Elyon, and the Almighty is El Shaddai. That suggests that God is over all, El Elyon, and under all of providing and protecting us. And if you go down to verse 11 and 12, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep me in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Does that sound familiar? Where was it? I'm not saying chapter and verse, just saying where was it or when was it? The temptation in the wilderness, yes. Satan tried to use this psalm against Jesus, but Jesus said, no, you are really out of context, you're really wrong. And he says, don't tempt the Lord your God. So another way of looking at this are lies versus truth. And we know that the devil is the father of lies, and truth comes from what God says. For Jesus said, thy word is truth. So we'll set up a little graph here, and we'll talk about the lie number one, the truth, and then what God's word says. The lie says, Satan says to you, God must be punishing you for something bad you've done. You know, you're a really bad person, and God just, oh, man, Robert, you are so bad. But the truth is, everybody suffers sometimes. God lets us go through painful times to make us more like Jesus. And we have to remember that even Jesus suffered. In Luke 9:22, he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. That's Luke 9. So that's taking care of the truth with the Word of God. The next lie. I did something wrong. I broke a window and I took a watch out of the store and I ran away or something. God can never use me again. I'm disqualified from his purposes and I can't be used, and I'm so sad because I was really enjoying working that bus ministry. I worked a bus ministry. The truth is, Satan loves to tell the lie, but God is always ready to forgive and restore you. He says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, this I call to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. A song that we sing and love to sing from Lamentations. That's Jeremiah's own sad book. Something else. How about lie number three? God's fed up with me. I've called on him to help, and he's helped me. I called on him to help, and he's helped me. I called on to help, please Lord, help again, and he's helped me, and he's fed up with me. The truth is, God doesn't hold grudges. His love for you is everlasting. Remember that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. And that's very encouraging to me, that he has begun a good work in me and he's going to perform it. He will fulfill it until the day of Jesus Christ. And remember, James chapter 1, verse 5. Anybody can remember that? James 1, 5. Didn't ask you to memorize it. You know it off by heart if I start you off. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't say, go away, kid. Yeah, I'm done with you. You've said that again and again and again and again, and you keep failing. Satan loves to lie and get into our thoughts. And the last lie we're going to talk about is, I'm never going to be happy again. My dog ran away, my truck broke, and oh man, I could write a, a country song on that. Never be happy again. But in time, with God and His Word, God will fill you with hope, with His joy, with His peace. The Holy Spirit will empower you to overcome. God's Word says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He gives us the power to have the ability to have the hope and the trust in Him. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And God has a plan, but you ladies are here. And so this plan, you can remember. Everybody loves to do John 3:16 with God's plan, "For God so loved the world." Or 1 Peter 1, chapter 3 to 9. "Blessed be the God of our Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Everybody likes to use John 3:16. But don't forget John 3:17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." A very positive message. But if you're a sinner, look at verse 18. "He that believeth on Him, not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And right at the end of that chapter, John 3:36, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Bottom line with all of this, God is trying to get our attention with trials and testings. He saved us. He's saying, "Trust me." For any of you that aren't saved, He's saying, "Hello, here I am." He wants you to think about your situation, your soul and ultimate destination. But if you just say, "Well, I believe there's a God," well, according to James, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." Devils believe and tremble, and they're never going to get saved. You need more than just believing that, "Oh yeah, there's somewhere out there, there's a God." We need more than that. And that's it. I have run out. Nobody asked questions and put up their hands. Maybe next week. Next week's going to be a very colorful week if I make it through this week, which I was planning on spending in my lazy boy. It's all about being dead and resurrected and what happens. Pastor Bruce has been going through the rapture. By the way, do you know what the URD stands for on your orders of service? URD? I had a whole list over there. Underground resource, residential disbursement, where you take the hydro from the big pole and down to the little pole and then underground in air. So what do you think the URD stands for? You see, I never got that. And we looked, I asked my wife, we looked and I Googled it and we did all this, that and kind of stuff. It's a, URD is actually a gourd, a root vegetable, not a gourd, but a root vegetable in Pakistan. They love it. You know, on a Saturday night or a Friday night, you're trying to put this together and you're trying to think, ERD, upper respiratory distress. Anyway, thank you, folks. I really appreciate it. Any questions? No? Clear as mud? Good. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together, and we do thank you for your word. And we know that we have an adversary that's standing up in heaven, throwing his all sorts of lies about us and telling half-truths about us, but we have an intercessor with Jesus Christ who says, he's mine. You can't do anything to him. He belongs to me. I saved him with my blood. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings things to our minds when we're in the hospital bed or when we're at home, and when we just think of some things and then all of a sudden we hear some music or a song or just remembering a song, and we think back to you and we can remember you and we know how much that you loved us and what you did for us. Ask your blessing now as we continue to be with Pastor Bruce as he brings a message, and be with Susan as she plays for us. We thank you so much for her willingness to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks.